I'm going to talk to you tonight about Almost Persuaded, I've called this. So you look at the slide there behind me, conversions in the book of Acts, and that's actually what we talked about in the junior high class were the acts of conversion. So what did they know that I don't? In the subject of persuasion, because it came up in discussion there and when discussing people outside, you know, what was it to be persuaded? And gave us thought about how do we work at persuading people. Is persuading someone a bad thing? It's kind of the context in the question. And so really that made me think as we went through the class and think about some things tonight. But I'm here to tell you that I feel like I'm on a mission now after teaching that I need to be a persuader. I need to work to persuade. If we look at these three scriptures that I pulled up out of the Bible, the New Testament, two of them happen to come from Acts, but I thought they were very relevant. And this is Paul in Acts chapter 18. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. So every chance that he had, he was there trying to persuade the people of Jesus and to obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 26, Paul, again, as he had been talking to Agrippa, and we know the story, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And then in 2 Corinthians, this would have been Paul and Timothy, I believe. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. So we can take from that verse that we need to work to persuade others. So I'm going to start here. Tonight, I'm going to treat this audience, if you will, as a learned audience. And I'm going to kind of proceed toward a final quiz. So you can think about it maybe from the perspective of you're going to have a closed book oral exam at the end of tonight's class, which is only going to last about another 15 minutes. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we're going to see if you can answer those questions. Because I believe most of you have been studying these simple questions for the entirety of your life. So we shall see. One of the things that I'm sure most all of you have seen at one point in time is this chart. And I've seen this chart used in many different forms. For those of you who may be a little higher in age, you may remember the old felt boards. I've been in gospel meetings where they'll use the felt board and they'll go through and push these things up. We're going to use the PowerPoint form tonight, but we're going to look at all, just very quickly, not going to go into detail on them, but I'm going to go back and refresh your memory, if you will, for that quiz on the acts of conversion that we find in the book of Acts. So we look first in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. So there in verses 14 through 41, the way this chart works, that's where they actually heard the message. So if you're to turn over there and look, that's where they're being preached to. And in that particular section, in this particular example that we have, the actual words that are called out within this particular set of scripture include the word repent in Acts in chapter 2, verses 37 through 38. And then baptized is used in 38 through 41. And then remission of sins is used in verses 38 through 47. So if we go down to the next one and we look at the Samaritans over in Acts chapter 8, we'll find the words believed in verse 12, and we find the word baptized in verses 12 through 13. So the chart is fairly self-explanatory, and you've seen it. So if we go look, we've got the eunuch, which is one of my favorite stories, and I really enjoy that story for some reason. It's one of the two that I really like. But the eunuch in chapter 8, he believed in verses 36 and 37. He confessed in verse 37. He was baptized there in 38, and he went away rejoicing. The word rejoice is used, depending on your translation, in verse 39. Saul, of course we know about Saul on the road to Damascus. His vision, loss of his sight. Moving over in verse 18 there in chapter 9, he was baptized. His sins were washed away, as actually talked about later in the book when he recants that episode in chapter 22. Cornelius believed in verse 43, was baptized in verse 48 for the remission of his sins in verse 43. Lydia talks about her being baptized in Acts chapter 16, verse 15. The jailer, another story that I really enjoy, Acts chapter 16, and we come across believed there in verse 34, baptized in 33, and rejoiced in verse 34. And then Crispus and the Corinthians, Paul in that discussion with them, they believed in chapter 18, verse 8, and were baptized there in verse 8 as well. So, that being said, you can look at the chart, and that's a quick refresher. We don't have to go through, but I think many of us have heard these stories. But I want to ask you a different question. Skipped ahead. Something worth noting in this chart that should just stand out, and it brings to my mind every time I look at this chart, in our world today, how can there be so much confusion, question, doubt about baptism? If you just look at this chart and you're in the world, every single example that we have, baptism is included. It is the only thing that is included in every example. Now, we know that all parts form the gospel and that all steps are necessary as we look through, and this table's good to show us all these pieces, but I think it's worth note about baptism. You know, this discussion comes up in the world a lot. I think probably with friends that are of some religious affiliation, that's the point of topic that comes up most is baptism. You know, when are you actually saved? But if we look at these examples, there it stands for us. Now, the second point that I wanted to make, something to think about here in these examples of conversion. Have you ever considered how long these thousands of people had been preached to? What did they know? How much did they know? How much did they understand at the time they were baptized? Think of that just a second. And we know these stories. How much information did they have that led them to believe and to obey the gospel? So we bring this same chart back up that we had a while ago, and let's add a column over on the side. And let's think about this. So in this column, I put who delivers this message. And really, if you look back at the scriptures, we have it written to us. I'm estimating. I'll give you that up front. It's not factual, except in a couple of cases where it actually comes out. But you can read the scripture, and you can see how long it took to read it, and how long they were in a particular place or a particular time. And as we go through and we look, not much time. Peter at Pentecost, maybe an hour. 3,000 souls obeyed that day. Samaritans, Philip, hard to tell on that one. The eunuch. We know the story of the eunuch. That's another one of the reasons I really like that story, is because he met up with the eunuch while he was reading. He got in the chariot with him. The story goes that he rode down the road and is riding down the road and he's explaining to him what it is that he's read. He sees water. Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I mean, an hour, a day, 2 days. How much time? Just think about how much time that took. We go down and look at the others. Lydia, ours and her household, the jailer. You know, this particular set of scripture, we look at it, it says within the same hour. So from the time that he went and he preached to them, within the same hour, it says he and his household were baptized. Something to think about. Crispus and the Corinthians, okay? Paul, hours, days, over a period of time. But think about the time that's associated with it. You know, let me back up. I don't know where we've lost this sense of time here in our world today. And maybe it's because we have so much information around us, and we have the need, or we feel the need that we have to know every little detail about every little thing. Is that the case with the gospel? If you think about these examples, and as we come to our final quiz tonight, is that the case? You know, I have been blessed enough to be on mission trips. And I have personally, with my own eyes, in the jungle, dealing with individuals who are, I won't call them pygmies, but they're very short people. They're Kuna Indians. Very little people, and literally barefoot, barely clothed, coming out of the woods as we went down there on trips. And I have seen with my own eyes people who had never heard the name Jesus Christ in their lifetime. Now, that was an amazement to me that they had never heard Jesus Christ. And I have witnessed preaching to those people through interpreters and native preachers that are down there, witness these people within the context of a day and a meeting with these individuals to obey the gospel, to be baptized, and to become Christians. To the extent that I have seen some of these individuals who their families immediately when they accepted Jesus Christ, when they said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Their families literally turned their backs on them and walked away. And I asked, I said, what's happening here? Their families have disavowed them because they believe in Jesus. That was in a day. So how today, you know, do we get away? All right. Think about these things. You know, we don't have specifics about a lot of things, but we can reason some of these. The people back in the first century didn't have the written word of God available like we do. They did not have this Bible. They could not go and reference this Bible. You know, they didn't grow up going to Sunday school learning about Jesus Christ from the time they could sit up in the little chairs back there in the room. They didn't have all the written material and media about Jesus. How can we access Jesus? Some of you are looking at your Bibles right now on Kindles or iPads. You know, we've got so much information. We've got DVDs and CDs. We can listen to tapes. There's so many ways that we can hear about Jesus that these people couldn't hear about Jesus in that day other than hear it spoken from, you know, from the apostles and those with the Holy Ghost, you know, that this message could come out to them. They would not have known nearly as much about Jesus, His resurrection, or His being the Son of God as the elementary school children here in this congregation tonight. Think about it. I've seen similar things out in the jungles. They did not know as much. When was the first time you heard about Jesus? Can you remember? For those of you that have come up in the church, you know, you probably can't remember when you were 2 years old or 1 year old and, you know, your teacher telling you little stories about Jesus. Can you remember the first time you heard about Jesus? So how many years, if you will, have you been hearing about Jesus? So now, to get ready for our little pop quiz so I can finish up here to examine ourselves, how long have you known about Jesus Christ? What do you know about Jesus? Do you know He's the Son of the living God? Do you know about His life while He was here on this earth? Do you know about His crucifixion, about His trial, His beating, His suffering, His death on the cross? Do you know the story about His burial in the tomb, the empty tomb, His resurrection, His ascension back into heaven? Do you believe all of these things? Do you believe them? And I ask that question in seriousness to the kids and a lot of people. Do you believe it? Then do you know who Jesus was and is? You know, if you answered yes to all these questions, then you have, and why would you dare doubt it, heard of and believe in Jesus Christ? And I assume for this crowd, I'm telling you things that you already know, but I'm prepping you for the final quiz. These are things that we can say. Then if I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What's your answer? And I talked to Florence about this particular question. Ladies of the congregation, I'm not asking you to speak up in the assembly, but men and Christian men, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You know, as we sit here tonight, folks, as fathers and grandfathers and elders and deacons and men of the church, for someone to ask us that question ought to be one of the most wonderful things that ever could happen to us in our lives. And I'm going to tell you that we really need to embrace that question. And we need to be enthused about that question. And we need to show our children and those around us, the people we work with, everybody in this world, how much we believe that. It's a hard thing in our workplaces today. I just started a new job, but there's no doubt in that place I'm a Christian, and I'm proud of being a Christian. If somebody asks me that question, I want you to think about it. I'm going to ask you again. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. We ought to be motivated about that, and we need to be enthused about that. We need to be happy that we can make that statement. Let's change real quick and talk about sin for just a minute. What is it? Ask yourself. You don't have to answer. Somebody did. Thank you very much. Not a class, but what is sin? Close your eyes, paint your picture in a minute. You know, what do I think of when I think of sin? We're going to have different images of that wherever we're at in our lives or what we think sin is. You can read this behind me. Sin is any deliberate action, attitude, or thought that goes against God or His will for us. You may think of sin as an obvious act. Okay? Murder, adultery, theft. You know, easy things that we think of every day. Lying, stealing. Although that's true, sin is also wrongdoing that is far subtler and even unnoticeable at times, such as pride or envy or worry. How do we deal with worry? Sin includes both things you shouldn't have done but did, sins of commission, and things that you should be doing and haven't done, sins of omission. Things I shouldn't do and do anyway, commission. Things I know I should have done but I didn't do, sins of omission. How many sins can you name? Ever sit around and thought about that? How many sins are in the world? I mean, we think about the ones we know, we hear all the time, we think about the ones that happen to congregation class, but how many sins can you think of? There are hundreds of sins, if you study your Bible cover to cover, and places and traps that we can fall into. You know, very good lesson coming from Ben right there. Satan works really good at bringing sin into our lives. Have you ever committed sins in your lifetime? And are you sorry? This discussion I have with our young people. Are you sorry you did those things and wish that you hadn't? Are you working not to do those things anymore because you know that they are wrong? Those are really simple questions. Do you know what a sin is? Do you know what it is to do wrong? Do you know that you've done something wrong? And this could have been back in the first century. You people are worshiping idols. You've heard about Jesus. You know that's wrong? Yeah. Okay. Are you going to stop worshiping idols? Yeah. Are you going to turn away from those idols and not worship them anymore? Yeah. Are you sorry you did it? Yeah. Simple definitions, but if you answered yes to 2, 3, and 4, you've sinned in your life and you've repented. So what's changed? What do we fear today? You know, what is I examined back in this first century and, you know, I looked to the jungles. What's different? So when you talk to somebody about, you know, why haven't you obeyed the gospel? Why? And I'm pushing a minute, but I'm going to push it an extra minute. My father, who is deceased now, for most of my adult Christian life, he and I argued over salvation. He would tell me, you know, my mother read the Bible every day. You can't tell me that my mother's not going to heaven because she wasn't baptized or because she didn't do this. And we argued. My dad got brain cancer February. He died in the following July. But as my dad deteriorated and he got to a place where it crippled him and he couldn't walk anymore and he was in a wheelchair, he couldn't do anything for himself. We had to lift him out of bed. We had to take care of his every physical need. For those of you who've been through this, you know what I mean. He couldn't do anything for himself anymore. But as he got to those latter days, he asked me one day, "Son, do you think I'm going to heaven?" And I said, "No, Daddy, you're not." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I've told you why, Daddy. We've talked about it so many times." And I got the Bible that I had given him and I opened it up and I started to go through these things. And the following Sunday, me and one of the other men from the congregation picked my dad up. We carried him up the steps into the baptistry and we baptized my father. And when he died, I was there. I watched him take his last breath. But I felt comfort. What's changed? What do we fear? I want to make sure I understand. I use this. When I obeyed the gospel, I didn't grow up in the Lord's church. So as I became more and more educated, Brother Jim Max Faust, preacher at Wheeler Hill Church of Christ up in Pikeville, Tennessee, I asked him that question. And he's like, "Keith, what do you need to understand? What more do you need to know?" And he talked to me out of God's Word. I was baptized. You know, what do we need to understand of the simple things that we've heard? In front of all those people, well, I'm afraid to come up front. I don't want everybody looking at me. You know, I don't want to walk down there where everybody's singing. I'm scared. You know, I don't do well in front of people. I'm not sure how old I should be. And this is young and old. Teenagers. For those of you that are in high school, I know we've got some in this congregation that have not obeyed the gospel yet. These things that we talked about, you know these things. You know them. If you're old enough to know what a sin is, and that you shouldn't have done it, and you've repented from it, you know who Jesus is, those simple things, you need to think about that. I live my life as a good person. You know, what will people think if I get baptized now? I've been wrong all this time? Pride. You know anybody like that? I've known people like that. I'm not sure I can stop sinning, or I know I'm going to sin again. Well, that's a big one. You know, I just don't know. I still got a lot of stuff going on in my life. You know, what do you tell that person when they say that to you? You're never going to stop messing up. You're never going to stop sinning. But one thing is absolutely 100% guaranteed. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you have no path to forgiveness. So, if you were to face judgment today, which one of these will you tell the Lord? If he came right now and we're all standing in front of judgment and he looks down and he says, you've not obeyed my gospel. You've heard my word. You know, I saw you in worship. Why didn't you obey? How many of these you think will work? Okay, what can we conclude? I'll speed up. Many obeyed only after learning of and believing in Jesus with less than one day of study. The gospel includes hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. How can being baptized, anyone doubt it? So here's your final quiz. I got to it in a little more than 5 minutes than I meant to maybe, but here's your quiz. Grade yourself. 5 questions. 20 points per question. Have you heard about Jesus? It's a yes or no. Well, you don't have to answer. Grade yourself. Don't want you to stand up for everybody. Thank you, though. Thank you. Do you believe what God's holy word tells us to do that we must be saved? Do you know what sin is? Have you committed sin? Are you working to not be that kind of person? Are you working to be repentant? Can you confess, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And number 5, have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? There's a test. 5 of your questions. So, how'd you score yourself? Consider in Acts, thousands were scoring themselves with a 100. With a fraction of the knowledge that we possess today. Did you make 100? If you understand the simple things here presented today, and you made anything less than a 100, we're going to have an invitation here in a minute. Perfect time to get 100 on this test. And I'll remind you, sins of omission are as eternally deadly as sins of commission. Why do you wait? Any of those categories that I talked about. You know, you could be my age or older and sitting in this congregation tonight. I've never been baptized. You know you need to be baptized, but you're holding back for some reason. So you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing it. Why do you wait? So checklist for Judgment Day. You can look at these as we stand and we sing.